Hey everybody, this is Hank here from Battle Brothers, the GCWA podcast. Well, we're doing a special episode today where we're doing a follow-up interview from our Gulf Coast Wargaming Alliance GT from this past weekend.
Bayou Wars.
Yep, from Bayou Wars 26. So, I said I'm Hank here. I'm on the show. I've got my buddy Scott from Mississippi as well. We've got Adam on tonight from Alabama. We've got
Hello.
John Moore on tonight from Florida. And our special guest, the winner of our event, Jeff, all the way down from Florida, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Orlando, Florida. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thank you for coming on here. So, this is our first actual official, I think, ITC GT that we ran with. No, we ran one last
major.
Major. Well, we were close to a major, but we had 46 people that came to this event, which was amazing. And we had people from all over coming. And I'm telling you, I mean, one thing I can say about the games you played, Jeff, you had a good attitude about every player you played, and you didn't play no slouches either. You played some hardcore people from our area. So you didn't just walk in and get good pairings. I think you actually got bad pairings. You just outplayed everybody.
I looked at my strength of schedule, and what's funny about some of my matchups, even my round one opponent is a guy that I have played in the finals of two events over the last couple months. So I did not want to see that round one. I was going against one of the toughest guys in the area for my very intro into your GT there, which was scary.
Well, you got to get the competition out of the way first.
So tell us a little bit about your first. Tell us about your trip up and stuff.
Being a teacher, I am on summer vacation, so it was a great way to kick off my vacation time. I was able to do the drive over a couple days, hang out with some friends along the way, but that was a long drive, I won't lie. the opponents I played, they were all great guys. In fact, two of my opponents were locals too, so I actually play them fairly regularly, both my first and last opponent. And then, two of my opponents I think were locals for you guys, and then I think one was kind of in between us. Carter Leach was another one of my opponents. I think he's in the Pensacola area.
That's the one percenter there. That's probably one of our best players on the coast.
I don't know. Yeah, his Carter Leach's claim to fame. When he says 1%, I don't know, he was top 8 LVO 2 years ago.
Yeah, so we call him that as kind of an inside joke because he got in the top 1% at LVO. So, so if you ever play him again, call him 1%.
Playing him.
Oh, really? Where'd you play him the first time?
I played him in Pensacola at a TBS Comics, I think it was, and it was like a 2,500 kind of like bring whatever you want tournament. And both times we played each other, we've had fairly similar lists. Last time it was a lot of Dark Eldar and Eldar on foot with vehicles, and this time we were both playing a very coven heavy army with Dark Eldar.
Okay. He's a big fan of those Dark Elves.
So coming into the event, showing up day one, what'd you think when you came in? Feedback is a big deal to this, seeing how we go from one event to the next.
Well, I think as with most players, when they show up to an event, I did a tour around checking out the terrain. I love the setup you guys had. The fat mats are great. They always add a lot to the setting. And I thought there was good line of sight blocking and just a good mix of different terrain types on all the tables. I also was happy that it wasn't one of those situations where you have tables right up against each other and you're constantly bumping into the people behind you and around you. So I loved the space. It was great that you guys even had snacks and things there on site. Also, props to you guys. You guys probably did the best with timing on events, keeping the schedule, than I've had with any other event. It is almost inevitable that I feel like people get behind schedule, but you guys did a really good job with that. And I also loved that the list checking component you guys did, that you were actually walking around and you were confirming models and making sure stuff wasn't too off for proxies. So those were all things that hit me pretty hard the first day. I was like, oh yeah, I really like the way that these guys are running the event. I love the setting. I love the location. It was all well done.
I think the biggest thing that helped us on the time, Jeff, was beforehand the event, we put down hard rules of basically stating we were going to do the cut the time in half with the ITC and hard dice down. That is something that I see a lot of events have a hard time doing, is that hard dice down. And that's to me the only way you can stay on a firm schedule is by doing that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you guys did a great job with sticking to that. So even small RTTs, I see them get so far off time and they say we're starting at 11, but it ends up being more like 11:30, 11:40. So that was all well handled. And then, yeah, like I said, I think the training and the setups were all very good.
We definitely busted to get all that done in time.
No joke. I think what we have all four of us that are here on the show, Jeff, we had them come over two weekends in a row working on terrain. We got it in mid-May from Frontline Gaming and just built and painted and built and painted. About a third of the tables there were from Frontline Gaming that we had. Maybe a quarter of them.
I'd say probably a quarter of them because we had a lot that were brought in from other stores around the area. So, but yeah, we definitely had a large Frontline Gaming component to the terrain this year.
So tell us about some of the games you went through, Jeff, from one opponent to the next on day one.
Well, my first opponent was Leo Correa. He plays a mix of Astra Militarum. He had an assassin in there for stopping psychic shenanigans. Ran a small Adeptus Custodes unit in there as well. So, like I said, we have played each other a couple times recently in the final round for events. So then coming up against him round one, we weren't able to really throw a lot of tricks at each other. We definitely knew each other's lists, hadn't made much changes since our last game. We're able to just get straight into the game. He had some bad luck, especially bad luck on a charge where he tried to use his Custodes Bikers, and he had two of them left. Charged one into the Farseer and charged one into my Urien Rakarth, and unfortunately they both whiffed, which gave me the opening to knock out his forward units and then just keep him hemmed in into the one corner. So he played a very defensive style with his Astra Militarum, and then I was just able to rack up all the points on killing more and holding more.
Hey Jeff, before we go any further, can you kind of tell us what you were running this weekend? I know you already said that it was the Homunculus Covens and stuff, but...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, my list is pretty easy to describe because I took a battalion of the Prophets of Flesh, Drukhari. So I had Homunculus and Urien Rakarth as the Warlord. I had 3 8-man units of Rax, 3 7-man units of Grotesque, and then I had 2 Elder Detachments. One of them was actually the Auxiliary Support, so I lost the command point for that with a Farseer Skyrunner. And then the other one was an Airwing Detachment. I had 2 Hemlock Wraith Fighters and 2 Crimson Hunter Exarchs with the Star Cannons instead of the Bright Lances. So most people who looked at my list, usually the thing they always ask me was, like, why are you not taking Agents of Vect? And it is a great stratagem. I do love it. But I think, especially after the last FAQ, some of the changes really hit a lot of the lists I most wanted Agents of Vect for. For example, stopping like the Poxwalker spam type stuff. So I kept finding that whenever I used Agents of Vect, I usually regretted it later. It was just costing me 3 command points to keep the game like in the same state it was already in. So that was my last minute change for this event. I decided to cut the Drukhari detachment and add in the Farseer because some of my toughest matches have been against things like 3 Shadow Swords. They can just blow me off the table, and I needed something to kind of help me more reliably get damage in on them.
Very interesting. Yeah, because that's a very different take on what you're seeing with Dark Eldar lists these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, in fact, when I played against Carter, too, he had the Agents of Vect stratagem, and playing on the other side of it, it was easy to kind of say, hey, I'm going to use this stratagem that I know is really powerful.
And you're going to bait him into it.
Exactly. So he either stops it, and he burns out a lot of command points, and he's going to empty his pool quickly, or he doesn't stop it, and I still get some good effects off. So it definitely made me more inclined to throw stratagems out that I wouldn't have otherwise, just knowing that he would probably burn CP to keep it from happening.
That's a rare thing to hear, people baiting Carter in. That's I'm going to get a laugh out of that in the morning.
Well, I think honestly, most Drukhari players, just every single one I've seen, in fact, I think that it's getting overused right now because they are putting in a lot of work and finagling their list around to get that attachment in there.
And they're getting cocky about it, too, because all you hear is, get Vect, get Vect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, guess what? You're burning more CP than I am.
As soon as they hear a scary stratagem go off, they just kind of reflexively do it. But really, I think that it should be used maybe just once every 2 or 3 games. It should be on that, like, oh, Guillemin's going to get back up. or Celestine's going to revive. If you're stopping something like that, I think it's worth it. But I think it's getting thrown at too many other smaller issues that it would be nice to stop, but it's not a must-have.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get back on to your opponents you played.
Sure. So that was the first game with Leo. And actually, that kind of describes the second game with Carter as well. We had similar lists. I ran more Grotesque. He ran more Talos. He didn't have the Elder Detachment. So my Jets definitely give me a huge advantage to say, I don't care what my opponent has in his army. They are easy points for recon and behind enemy lines for me. So playing on the champions missions, as long as the deployment is along the long edge for their deployment table, I can rely on getting those two very consistently. Very few armies give me trouble on those secondaries. And then I just have to pick one other secondary based on their list, which helps a lot. So same thing with Carter. He had kind of the more traditional Dark Elder list, I think, with Ravagers, which a lot of people love. He did have Rax, Dark Eldar, and Venoms, Blasters, and all those elements. I let him go first. We were on I think it was Dawn of War deployment. So I let him go first. He kind of moved into the middle. And then that just let me strike first with a lot of my hard-hitting units of Grotesque and Rax. The Jets were able to shoot down some of the Talos, and then I think I ended up knocking out three or four units. So it just gave me such a good, stable hold over what was in the middle of the table that it made it hard for him to try and catch back up to me from there.
It was kind of funny. I was actually talking with him earlier today about this game, and when he said that you you won the roll-off and then you said, you can go first, he was kind of like a deer in the headlights. He's like, he's trying to, I feel like there's a trap coming. There's a trap coming right here.
it's funny that you mentioned that too, because I have played Carter one other time, but I don't think he remembers it. And it was the same thing. I won the roll off. I chose to go second. It's definitely my play style. And it's a big facet of how I constructed my list, that all of my units are very durable. It is incredibly difficult to knock out a unit of 7 Grotesque or even the unit of 8 Rax. And the Jets are even worse, because even some of those gunline armies, I can just throw down an extra -1 to be hit. And now a unit that used to hit on 3s is hitting on 6s. So it really denies a lot of people getting kills on me turn 1, which is why I'm not afraid to go second and have the advantage to say, okay, you control one objective. Now I just need to knock you off that one, or control 2. You killed one unit, so I just need to make sure I knock out these 2 units. So I love that tactical control over going second for the bonus points.
I felt like I just learned something right there listening to that. How much do I owe you?
I'm not on the Nick Nanavati levels yet. I can't charge for list building advice.
I'm gonna reserve my comments where an Eldar player is talking about a durable army and I have a Warhound that gets one rounded. Reserve my comments and not say anything.
You know, I will say that's a really good insight on the whole going second to really maximize on the champions missions, because it's so, you know, it's so easy to say, hey, I want to go first so I can, you know, get that first punch in against the opponent. But getting to see what the board state is and then kind of dictating where the points are going to be made, that's where you make your points right there. Mm-hmm. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, early in 8th, I was definitely part of the player base that was saying, all right, I'm going to bring a bunch of guns. I'm going to go first and try and shoot down as much as I can. But now I like to build my list with saying, all right, I can only rely on going first half the time, so let me instead aim to go second and make sure I can survive that.
And it probably works a lot better now that we don't have, you know, the first turn deep strike.
Uh-huh, absolutely. In fact, that actually hurt my original list. What I was trying to do with Dark Eldar more was bring in units from reserves, so I would be protected in that sense. And I really wanted to use the Mandrakes and the Scourges and just deep strike vehicles in. But then that beta, the beta rules came out that I can't keep that many units in reserve, and I couldn't deploy them outside of my deployment. So I had to kind of revamp what I was working on for my tournament list and instead build my durability a different way, not by being off the table, but by being on the table and just incredibly difficult to remove.
So there you are sitting at 2-0. You've just beaten 2 pretty good opponents. So who's your round 3 draw, day 1?
Yeah, so first 2 opponents, I know that they're both great players. I'm already like, all right, hopefully it gets easier from here. My third round opponent, I didn't know. I think he's more local to you guys, Will Grant.
Yep.
He's one of our Louisiana guys.
Yep. He's one of their top players over there.
So then my anxiety with that game was he was playing Gene's Third Call, which I can't lie, it is just an army I do not know very well. I'm glad they don't have a codex yet, because I know he would have far more tricks he could pull on me.
It's going to be terrifying.
That's going to suck when that codex comes out.
Yeah. they are very fast. They're very mobile. They have a lot of shenanigans they can pull. I guess Eldar get accused of that too. Lots of kind of tricky movements and
spot meat kettle.
Yeah, exactly. I accept that. That's fair. That's fair. So I wasn't familiar with Will Grant as a player, and then I wasn't real familiar with the army either. I'm trying to remember who actually won the roll-off in that one, but same thing, I did choose, or he gave me second turn. So
he was running a mixed army, if I recall, like Tyranids and Guard and Gene Stealers and all sorts of craziness, right?
That is true. He did have some Tyranid units in there, and so that part I was familiar with. He had Flyerants, he had Hive Guard. So those parts I do know. And then the Gene Stealer Cult, he might not be able to do this anymore, but I know he had the Manticores in there, which I think are getting removed from Gene Stealer Cult from what I've heard. But that ruling's not in effect yet, I don't think. It wasn't like illegal for the tournament, I mean, but I think he'll have to change his list. And then some of the, I forget what they're called, Acolytes. I think they're like the basic infantry with mortars. So they basically function like Astra Militarum. And yeah, that's the stuff I do not know as well. I know they got some bonus rolls from Chapter Approved. They get their ability to deep strike in, including turn one. So they can go outside of the deployment zone. And he brought in his big Gene Stealer unit and tried to knock out one of my units of Grotesque, the one that was surrounding my Warlord. Which was a good play. I haven't done the matchup much between Gene Stealers and Grotesque, but basically the Grotesque won that matchup. I do have the aura benefit of getting +1 strength and +1 toughness, so it just made it a little bit too difficult for him to get through the, let's see, I have 28 wounds at toughness 6 with a 4-up end bowl and a 6-up feel no pain. So he just wasn't able to do enough damage into that, which really set him behind because he lost his old school point for killing something turn one. He didn't get a kill turn one, which meant I just had to knock out one unit, and it gave me kill more than the opponent. So just right out the gate, his opening gambit kind of failed him. I don't think he had gone against the Drukhari as much either. We were both kind of inexperienced with the opponent's army. So I think he would have given me a much tougher run for the money if he went for some of the weaker units first, like the Wrath. He would have wiped them out easily, because the Gene Stealers do hurt. It's a lot of attacks.
Yes.
The rest of the game was just kind of me knocking out his Flyerants where I could, moving up into position, dominating the four quadrants for recon. He didn't have much else that he could charge into me, so it was able to hold. I was able to hold the table pretty well from that point on.
Holding the table against Gene Stealer Cult is a pretty good feat right there.
Well, it's 19 models, and they're actually durable, too, with their 5-up invul, and I think they can also get a feel no pain. And I think it's 5 attacks per model, and of course they have powers and stratagems things they can pull as well to get them up to like strength 5 or strength 6. So surprisingly durable, very hard-hitting, and not that expensive of a unit. I think one of my saving graces was that he only had one of those Gene Stealer units. If he had run multiple, I definitely would have had more trouble on the melee front.
We have a local kid, Brandon, that's playing Gene Stealer Cult, and he would have come. He was going to borrow, 80 Gene Stealers from Cammy, but they weren't his. Like, he didn't paint them, so he didn't want to run a borrowed army. But, we're going to have a lot of Gene Stealers locally, you know, once he gets kind of his, gears going.
Yeah.
Well, thank him for me for not playing that.
So after day one, what'd you do that night, Jeff?
I went home. I got something to eat real quick. I pretty much went to sleep right away. I was watching on the BCP app trying to see who my next opponent would be, trying to get some strategies and plans in mind for what I'd be going against, even if I can at least pick like which secondaries I think I'll need. So I was able to identify who I expected to play just by looking at the points. It's a lot easier when you're 3-0. And there are only so many other 3-0 guys to figure out what the placings will be for the top matches. And I was also just relieved. I had driven up there with my girlfriend, and I was telling her, I was like, look, I came here, I was telling myself I was going to be really happy, ecstatic if I could just go 4-1. I'd be happy if I even went just 3-0. So I was like, hey, I already hit my goal. Everything from here is going to be just a bonus. My three first day opponents were awesome. I had great games with all of them. They were good guys. We had, I mean, on my part anyway, I had very fun, enjoyable games. I hope they did too. I thought they were good opponents, and we played a fun day. So looking at my next round opponent, I won't lie, I was quite sure I was going to lose. In fact, I was telling my teammates, the Brohammer team, I was like, guys, I don't think I got this game. I think I'm going to lose this one.
That was Mark Perry, wasn't it?
That was Mark Perry, yes, Mark Perry. And he is running a Thousand Sons and Demon army. And the more I looked at his list, he had Magnus in there. He had Plague Bearers. He had lots of Thousand Sons Psykers. What I was afraid was going to happen is he would cast a lot of the buffs and spells to make his Plague Bearers go up to like 4 or 6 damage, in which case he would just be exploding my grotesque units. I know he has Death Hex. I am completely dependent on my invul save, so that's terrifying. And Magnus scared me because he would have stopped my jets from giving me the comfortable recon and behind enemy lines points. I did not want to fly anywhere into his back line or his side of the table even, knowing that he could warp time and then just smack those things out of the air with very little effort.
Magnus is pretty dumb.
Yeah, and I like some armies, they can shoot him down turn one, but mine is not one of those. The only guns I really have in my army are those 4 jets. And I did the math, and I was only expecting to do like 9 or 10 wounds to him. I was like, okay, that is not a good sign. So even if I go first, I'm in trouble here. So yeah, that was how I spent my first night. It was kind of like, well, let's just get a good night of sleep because I don't think I'm going to be 4-0 come the morning.
That's one thing I can't say hats off to you on that. You know, Mark's one of our best players around here too. And he won the
ITC South last year.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So yeah.
So I was right to be scared of him.
Yeah. I mean, you're
pretty much checking off all of our best players.
I mean, yeah. you beat probably, in my opinion, the best player in Mississippi. You beat one of the top players that we play with in Florida, and one of the top players from Louisiana. So.
Well, he was a great opponent. I loved the game with him. He was a really really fun guy to have for the game. But yeah, I was definitely scared of his list, and I'm glad I didn't know as much about his reputation in Louisiana. I probably would have been even more scared of the matchup than I already was going in. What surprised me in that game, actually it surprised him too, he doesn't know my army that well, but I actually play Thousand Sons and Demons, so I did know what he had access to. I think he didn't know what I could do, and he threw a lot into charging Magnus up the table and trying to knock out some of the grotesque. And as with some of the other players, he came just short of wiping out the unit, which then gave me the huge opening to just kill something and get a 3-point swing there, because he loses old school, doesn't get a kill at all. I can get a kill and kill more just from doing that. So it's a big swing having that happen turn one. Hmm. He did Death Hex into them. Not going to lie, Magnus killed like 5 or 6 on his own between his smite and his attacks. And then I did what little damage I could back into him turn one. Turn two is where I really knocked him out, though. He flung him down to another side of the table and went after a second unit of grotesque and wasn't as successful in damaging those. So in my second turn, I was able to fall back with the grotesque unit and then charge back in using a stratagem, and also get as many shots in with my jets as I could, just barely letting me finish him off. Once that threat was out, I was able to just march my grotesque up and win the matchups against the Plague Bearers and his princes. I was able to kind of start sniping out by placing the jets very strategically. I don't think I mentioned exactly, but one of the reasons I bring the Crimson Hunter Exarchs, they get reroll wound against units that fly. And I feel like most of the biggest threats in the game right now fly. It's one of the reasons I toss those in there. So each of them is putting out 6 shots that are rerolling ones to hit and rerolling all wounds as long as you're picking the right target. So they're really good for sniping up characters like that and just getting where I need them. So once I started knocking out some of those guys, the psychic support, he just didn't have enough threat to the grotesque units to finish them off. And I'll tell you, that was a relief getting that handshake there at the end of the game. The, all right, we finished it out. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do it. I was quite sure I couldn't do it, but luck was with me. And I think really just that Mark didn't have as much experience playing against Drukhari. I think that was my saving grace.
Yeah, I think with them being as new as they are, I don't think many people in the, his area play it right now. So, so that's one thing. Because out of everybody, I think he probably plays some of the most. He probably travels every weekend or every other weekend. He goes somewhere and plays.
And it's interesting that Drukhari, I've been playing them since back in 1998, and this is hands down the best codex they've ever had. One of the greatest things about it is that it can be played so very differently, because you can have a Kabbalite army and a Witch army and a Coven army play so differently. So even when people are playing against Drukhari, their next game, just because it says Drukhari on the sheet, doesn't mean it's going to be anything like the other games. It's a very different thing playing against Venoms and fast-moving warriors and poison shots than it is playing against the Grotesque and the Racks marching up the board.
Yeah, that's when you know you got a good book, when you can have variety like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now you're up. You're going into the finals now.
So, yep, so now round five, finals. Sure enough, it's another Brohammer player, and it is the other player I am most afraid to go against, because right now he's actually beating me more than anyone else I know. We are currently deadlocked tie, 2-2, for playing against each other at this point. And even worse is the fact that he's using Genius of the Occult for this game. So again, it's not an army I know that well, but I'm quite glad I got to practice in with Will Grant, which helped me identify a few things to keep an eye out for when I was going into that second match.
It's nice how that works out.
Yeah, so John Lennon, he's my fifth round opponent. He also is the only player who recognizes that I definitely want to go second, and he forces me to go first. So that was also not a good start for my game plan there. He's a really good player. In fact, I think he won Best Tyranid last year in the ITC rankings. So he definitely knows his Tyranid and his Genius of Occult very well. The biggest swings in that game, I was able to use my jets to kind of screen out him charging into my units, because he has to land 9 inches away from those, and all those Genius Healers, they can't hit stuff in the air. But the biggest thing I caught him with was he had his Hive Guard nestled in a building, so he thought they would be immune to anything but combat if I charged them. But there were holes on the top of the building, so I used my jets to fly over to that and shoot down and near wipe the unit. So that was what really messed him up and caught him off guard.
I do hate Hive Guard.
They are nasty, especially with being able to shoot twice, and that AP minus 2 and D3 damage is rough. It's very rough. He also caught me very off guard with something. I picked, and I never do this, I picked the secondary headhunter, which I feel like is a trap most of the time, because you have to near table your opponent to actually get to the characters. I took it so that my Farseer could try to mind war out some of his guys, not realizing that Gene Stealer Cult still have Lookout Sir. So I set it all up brilliantly and had to watch it fall apart. And basically, I just wasted a lot of resources and positioning on killing a few acolytes. So that was very well done, that he was able to pull that trick on me too, right back, and get me with something hard. Yeah, it was a tough game, but again, the Gene Stealers, even though they'd get a lot of attacks and they can do a lot of damage, they just really struggle getting through the Grotesque. They have the right amount of toughness and wounds to really survive their attacks and then hit back and pretty much wipe them. One of the reasons I love the Grotesque so much right now is anything that has multiple weapon profiles is phenomenal in the game, like Dark Reapers being able to hit tanks or multiple shots into units. The Grotesque being able to do mortal wounds or strike at AP minus 2 is huge. So if I'm dealing with something with an invul, say, if I can just switch to that weapon and then get a lot more damage through. It was also really cool that you guys had the stream. That's the first time I've played on a recording of a game. So I enjoyed that personally, especially getting to go back and kind of analyze it myself and see where I could have done things better or improved my game. I don't know how well other viewers can follow what was going on. It probably helps that I know, and I basically remember the gist of things, because I know it wasn't easy to see the dice rolls and everything. But I thought that was really cool too, getting to play on the recording you guys had set up.
So one good thing out of that, I'm actually on the committee now for Bayou Wars, and we're going to have internet there next year, a dedicated line. I don't know if it's going to be open to everyone, but I know the staff's going to be able to. I have the equipment to live stream Twitch, and the plan is for us to have our top tables. It'll have 2 to 3 cameras on it, shooting at it, streaming. So we'll have better quality and be able to jump from camera to camera next year.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, just being able to set up camera angles so that everybody can see the action. I kind of forgot the camera was there, and which I'm glad for. Otherwise, it might have been, you know, kind of getting into my head, like the pressure of having people watching. So it was nice that I was able to just kind of put it out of sight, out of mind. But, yeah, when people are aware of it, and if they're able to do their dice rolls into the camera shots, I'm sure that'll be more engaging for the audience as well.
Yeah, even just having a dedicated dice camera.
Mm-hmm.
But now we got a lot. I was shocked. I mean, so far today, I think we had 400 or 500 people that had actually viewed it. So it's gotten a lot of hits on it just for the short amount of time it was up. It might have been more today, but I just know on the first day, I think we had 400 people watch it. So that was pretty good. So when the event, I mean, closing ceremonies come up, what'd you think of how everything ran with that?
I love the way you guys did prizes. I know a lot of places they'll do like gift certificates for local stores or something, but obviously that doesn't work as well, and people are coming in from out of town. So I loved getting the, hey, here are the get started boxes, you know, kind of pick something that you like from there. That way people can really get things that are useful for them and not kind of just end up with random boxes or gift certificates that might not be as useful. I love the trophy. I thought the trophy was great. I've got that proudly displayed on top of a display case right now. So that was really cool.
This is the first year we did the raffling like this, too. How do you think people took that?
You know, I think it went very well. Sadly, I was so focused on my games, I forgot to do both the raffle entries and the best painted entry. I'm a bit of a slow eater, so when we went to lunch, I was so focused on like, all right, I got to get my food, I got to eat fast, and then get back. And so I failed to do both of those things. But I think that the raffles went well. It really helps a lot of those players who didn't make it into like the top 5 or 6 spots still get some prizes and have some incentive to stay through the event too.
There are a few guys that were absolutely racking up on the raffle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of them's on this channel. We're going to talk about it later in the episode.
I don't want to talk about it.
But so one thing I wanted to ask you, Jeff, before we jump in a little more, do you think I want your opinion on it because no one else has given us any yet. What do you think we can do better next time?
That's a good question. Well, I love the idea that you already mentioned of having some other streaming and being able to set up better camera angles on it. Usually the thing I go to is sticking to the schedule, but you guys killed it on that. I thought you guys did an awesome job with it. I wish there had been more players. I don't know what can really be done to change that, though. Like, I know you guys were promoting and asking the players who were signed up to let their friends know and everything and try and get the word out. Offhand, I thought you guys did a great job. That was one of my favorite events that I've been to. I don't know if that's just the bias of winning it or what.
That does help the the good feelings.
Yeah.
I think it was a weekend we had another friend of ours we got our schedules mixed up, and they were running an event the same weekend as ours, and theirs was up in Kentucky. So I know we would have sent people to theirs, they would have sent people to ours, and we probably would have both made major. But last year we went from 33 and this year to 46. So hopefully the goal next year is we'll hit 64 again. So, as you can see, terrain-wise, we're ready for it.
Yeah, you guys showed a lot of growth in. If you went from the 33 to up to 46 just in 1 year, it's also going to be hard to plan an event so that it's not conflicting with others because the game is growing so much. There are lots of extra events going on right now than there used to be. So it's great for the game. I'm glad there are more players getting into it and more events going on.
Yeah, we're going to be able to plan this one 6 months out. We'll have the dates here later, probably the next month or two, and we'll start promoting it out 6 months ahead of time this time.
Hmm. So Jeff, every tournament has those, amazing moments of something crazy happens on the table. if you had to pick, you know, your moment of the tournament, what would it be?
Oof, my favorite moment on the table. I can think of two that might be there kind of hand in hand. One was getting to drag down Magnus in my round four, because like I said, I did not think I had that game against Mark. And so I thought I was going to get dragged down and just crushed. So once I dragged him down, I felt like I had good momentum on my side. And that was when I felt like, okay, I'm in this game. I can do this now. So that was a great moment. And the second one was against John Lennon. He's really just having nightmares about the holes in the ceiling of the building. Getting to sneak in there and pull off some shots that he wasn't expecting, catching him by surprise because he's a very good player. Not much gets by him. So getting to catch him off guard, that was also a cool one.
That is funny that it'd be something like, you know, a giant hole in the roof that the planes can see through that really became so pivotal to the championship match.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because so many people are big on the Ravagers, but the problem with them is you have to spend so many resources to deep strike them and keep them safe through turn one. But the thing I like so much about the Jets is just their speed. I can fly over to the opposite side of the table and land on top of the building. Nothing else can do that because deep strike has to land so far away. So really, there aren't any units with that kind of opportunity other than flyers, which I think gives them a good role in the game.
That's a good point, yeah.
All right, so I guess we're coming down in closing statements from everybody on this. We've finished up the event. Adam, anything you got to bring up with Jeff?
No, man, I really enjoyed it. You know, the couple interactions throughout the event that we had with rules things, you were very, very professional and knew what you were doing. And I tell you, you know, we did kind of the staff the best sportsman. And when I brought your name up, the other people were like, come on, we can't give the winner of the event the best sportsmanship to. I was like, hey, by interaction,
that was me guilty. I made
a great opponent. I thought you were a great opponent. Every time I saw you, you know, you were doing the right thing, and the ambassador piece was definitely there. There was never a person that came up and, you know, was like, man, I don't want to go to my next event and have to play this guy because he's a jerk. And we never had that. So hats off to you on that, because a lot of the top table gamers, you know, they get the persona of being that power gamer that people don't want to play, and you do definitely don't have that.
Well, shucks. Thanks, guys. You're making me blush.
It's good radio to blush.
All right, John.
I guess the only other thing I had to add is, Hinkle, I don't know if you were going to bring it up about next year.
Oh, yeah, I was going to bring it up towards the end.
Oh, well.
But you can go ahead. Go ahead.
It's killing fun. Okay, well, just to let you know, I know we didn't mention it there, but
we did. Me and John chased him down in the parking lot.
You know,
for all the listeners out there.
Yeah, we will stay in touch because next year you do get a free entry to the event and the convention for being our champion this year.
Well, thanks so much, guys. I'm excited for that too. I can't wait to come back, and I'm glad to hear that my opponents did not have a negative experience, because I honestly wanted to treat it like a game. I want it to be a fun thing, and so I hate to ever. I don't know. I always hate when I see that people are getting hostile about it. I want it to be fun first, you know? So I'm glad to hear that kind of came off.
I got enough crap to deal with at work. I want this game to be fun. All right,
I'll just give a shout out. I mean, I know we've alluded to it already, but I mean, you did not have an easy road. I mean, sometimes, you know, you pull a fairly easy game in round one or round two or something like that, but I mean, you said you had a hard opponent round one. Your round two guy was Carter. He's a top eight LVO finisher. He was second in the South for ITC last year. You know, had another hard third rounder, and then you play the guy that took first in the South for ITC last year, and then you play John Lennon in the championship round, who I've played him before, and he's, you know, as solid of a player as they come. So, I mean, and you earned every bit of this, man. So congratulations. Hats off to you, because, I mean, that's quite a feat. To go through that field like you did. Oh, sorry, Will Grant. Yeah, I mean, and he was in the Louisiana State Championship Series. Yeah, he was, I think he was legitimately like one point away from winning top player in Louisiana this year.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely one of their top players over there.
So, I mean, it was a stacked field that you went through. I mean, you didn't have anything given to you in this one. You earned it. And, you know, hey, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I may have been unlucky in the opponents being very tough, but I was lucky in that I loved all my opponents. They were all great, fun games, and I'm glad that they were positive experiences. Nobody walking away like, oh, that was so frustrating.
All right, Scott.
I'm still salty.
Well, we'll talk about your saltiness later.
I don't wanna.
Anything, Scott?
I don't think Scott has anything.
Okay.
The only thing I had is I would have liked to see what my Warhound would have done against his list. Probably die turn one.
I was thinking maybe top of two.
Well, I have to be able to charge a Warhound. I don't have much shooting, remember?
That's why I wanted to see how that would go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and give you my closing statements, Jeff. So, one, you know, thank you for coming to the event. When we have players like you that win, that is what makes the hobby good. That's what brings people back. There's nothing more that irritates me more is when I see people who win these big, we're not a big event, but win bigger GTs and majors, and they're people that the rest of the community can't stand or doesn't bring anything positive into it. And just from seeing how you were there and here on this interview, you know, that's the kind of role model we need for people in this hobby to help it grow. So I thank you very much for having that type of attitude and professionalism with it. And it makes our jobs as TOs so much easier. And, you know, I thank you a lot for coming on this show and catching everybody up on, you know, how your event went. I definitely – we actually have a special we do on this show that John put together called Fog. Fog of War, where we actually do Army reviews. I definitely would like to get you on the show a little later and possibly talk about what you think works good for your Army and techniques and tricks for how to run your
Army. I'd be interested in getting him and Carter on the same show and bouncing ideas off of each other. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be. So,
please keep in touch, and I'd be happy to do another input for you.
All right. Well, you know, like you said, if anyone wants to see the game that went on with Jeff and his opponent in the finals, it's on the Battle Brothers, the GCWA Facebook page. You can check it out there. What group can we find you on? I was looking for a Brohammer Facebook group, and I couldn't find one. So I don't know.
There is a Facebook group, but I wonder if they have it set that it's not easy to see. In fact, I know that they're we've been up there pretty high on the team rankings, too, on ITC. I think Brohammer had like five guys out of the top six.
Jeez.
Top six spots for your event there.
I think I found the page.
Oh, okay.
It looks like y'all. I don't know what Hinkle's doing on Facebook, but
Not spelling right. Yeah, I'm just trying to like. I'd like to be able to share stuff when we have here, like when we have events or for our podcast and stuff, so y'all know when we're putting up, so y'all can listen to it and stuff.
Yeah, so. Please do. I know they've also been trying to get their own podcast built, so we'll have to get some cross.
Well, I learned how to do mine from Carl Tuttle and from Paul Murphy, so I got a real easy, cheap way to do it that sounds good. So if y'all need any advice, I'll more than happily pass on what they've shown me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys.
All right. Well, anything else y'all got? Anything you got closing up, Jeff, before we head out?
Well, I guess the last thing I can say is you might not see my list that much anymore because I think with Death Watch and Knights coming out, I think those are both going to be very tough matchups. And yeah, I think Knights. As the season goes on, you're going to see more and more of those once people have time to assemble and paint them. So it was a great list for this event, but it might just be a short window that it was viable.
Hmm. Well, we shall see. It's an ever-changing meta.
Yeah, it's
okay. Well, Jeff, I thank you again for coming on here, and we look forward to having you on the show again, and hopefully you come back next year and defend that title so we see if we can get two in a row.
You can count on it. Well, not necessarily winning, but me being there at least.
All right. Well, thank you much, and this is Hinkle signing out. We'll be right back.
to cry. Telling yourself of worship, a false fear of the lie. Making an accusation of your voice within. Is this the end? I said we just begin. Will you ever know the words I have within? Or am I just a face till I see you again? This is a burning your eyes, a light to see. The feeling of truth and what it means to me. Searching for words unbroken, can you see again? The ones that will pull you in aren't even your friends. Will they try to lead you? Or will they let you down? Or break you just to fit you in with a crowd?